The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hi, everybody. Welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. My name is Bob Branco. Good to be with all of you today. Before we continue, let me introduce our sports spelunkers that we have thus far on the show. We start out with Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon. Good evening from beautiful downtown Pasadena, where it is 91. And about 3 hours ago, my wife and I went out to our local pharmacy. And it is not a dry heat today. It's not quite as bad as St. Louis was, or I'm sure Houston is most of the summer. But it was a little damper, a little more humid than what we're used to. But it's good to be here, and looking forward to talking sports for the next hour.
We are partly sunny here in southern New England. Temperatures are in the 80s, a little on the humid side, but not nearly as oppressive as it's been the past few days. Reverend Michael Garrett.
And welcome from Missouri City, Texas, where it is about 73 degrees with showers, thunder showers. It's been raining off and on for about 4 hours.
But Don Wardlaw.
Go ahead, Don.
Don Wardlaw.
It's around 90 here in Jersey. Normally it's, you know, about the same as you, Bob, but apparently it's hotter here than it is there.
Michael, you could finish what you were starting to say. Go right ahead.
Well, I was just going to compare weather. It's cloudy, raining, 73 degrees here. When I got back from Illinois, I wanted to get back and go back to Illinois because it never got over 85 degrees. We had always had a nice breeze during the NBBA World Series. So, but I'm now back to the heat and humidity, but we're getting a reprieve today.
Back with us, Luther King. Welcome.
Yes, here in Nashville, it is a high of 92, but the feel like temperature is 97.
And we're still waiting on Peter Alcho. I'm not sure if he's here yet, but I'm sure that if he arrives, I'm sure he will let us know. In the meantime, let me thank those people who make it possible for Sports Roundtable to be made available. We start out with Raymond Gay, our producer. Thank you for what you do. Also, our media sources, thank you very much for what you do as well. And, of course, Jacqueline Sylvia of JS Web Solutions, thank you very much for what you do by archiving our programs on my website. All you have to do to get there is go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down till you get the Sports Roundtable podcast. Click on them, and you will see most of our archived programs from latest to earliest. And if Peter were here, he would say, Merci, Jackie. And by the way, this is episode 455, dated Monday, August 10th, 2026. So, Mitch, I know you had a couple of things to bring up. I'll let you do that. Two different topics. One is about the Dodgers. One is about the WNBA. So you can take off wherever you'd like.
Well, and I suspect Don's got some things today, but there are two things, and I'm not a big WNBA fan. I've just never been. I'm not as big an NBA fan as I used to be. But there was yet another incident with a player getting getting seriously fouled, and it became kind of a racial thing.
Was that with the Fever?
That was with the Indiana Fever. The woman who was fouled was white, and the woman who committed the foul was black, and they came up, started talking about white privilege and all of this sort of thing, and you just don't see that in the NBA, and I think it's totally inappropriate. It may or may not have something to do with one sexual orientation being different from the other. But over and above that, to go from the sublime to the ridiculous, you had two former, or should I say has-been NBA players, Enes Kanter and a fellow named Royce White. I sent you, I gave you that name, Bob. I don't know if you saw my email.
I saw the email about that. Yeah. I'm like, what in the world?
Royce White, I've never heard of. Enes Kanter,
Royce
I remember.
White, I believe he, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was the kid that came from Iowa State, I think. Because I remember, I think either he was in Iowa State or one of the power.
What I remember about Enes Kanter is that he played several years in Israel. I think he's Jewish,
yeah,
and there just
aren't
that many Jewish basketball players anymore. When the NBA first started, there were a lot of them. But both of them now, both of them now are saying, well, since all you have to do is declare that I'm now a woman, I want to be part of the WNBA draft, and that's making a mockery of this whole thing.
Mitch, how can he declare it? Did he have the medical procedure? I'm not trying to be funny, but
there's a way to declare it. They just said they are, and that seems to be, you know, again, I don't want to get off into the politics of it, but that seems to be what a lot of folks say is all you need to do is say yes, I'm a woman. Regardless of whether you've had any of the hormone treatments or whatever, and that I think WNBA is in a lot of trouble, and they got to get their act together. You'll get a certain cohort of women who will continue to follow the league, but you know, women who are, you know, family members who are mothers, they're sure not gonna want to get their daughters and even their sons watching or listening to WNBA games with this kind of nonsense going on.
Well, here's the problem.
I think they're in trouble.
So all you have to say is I'm a woman, even though I'm a man. All I got to say is I'm a woman, and boom, I'm eligible.
I can tell you that is an absolute, honest, correct statement, and I'll tell you why I can say that. I know this isn't sports, but this is my flesh and blood. She began life as my niece Madeline, and at the age of 18, she told us, and apparently I've talked to her since then. Her friends knew even years before that, before she told us, because we're ultra-conservative, most of my family is, and she told us Madeline is a transgender man and wishes to be called Max. And I asked her in confidence, in just the two of us together, I asked her if she'd had, you know, medical procedure. She said she had not. She said she had no intention because she didn't think her insurance would cover it. But I said to her, be you Madeline or be you Max, you're my flesh and blood and I love you.
But how do you declare yourself a transgender if you don't have the procedure?
Well, Don, don't feel bad. I think we have a member in our family that pretty much is kind of doing the same thing, but they're going, you know.
Bob, it is a topic, if you dare, it would make an interesting In Perspective program sometime. It is, but since we're talking sports, I just believe the WNBA has got a massive, massive public relations problem to deal with.
Not only with this, but with all the inner squabbles going on within the teams.
Mm-hmm. The biggest problem they have, guys, is their commissioner. The commissioner, or Kathy, whatever her name is, who's the main commissioner of this league, her leadership ability has been very much in question from every player that has been in this league. Connecticut's supposed to be going back to Houston for 2027. If they don't figure this out and they don't get somebody that's going to be an actual leader and do what is necessary,
there will not be a league for women's college basketball players to stay on the mainland and play. They will have to go back to going back overseas to continue their careers. If they don't get
Michael, I know you had something to say.
Yeah. And Luther brought it up. You know, the team from Connecticut is coming to Houston.
Yep. You know,
when the WNBA started, the first iteration of it, you know, the Houston Comets were.
I remember the first iteration. I liked the first iteration.
About four championships.
Four. I think they got the first five.
Yeah, but one of the comments that people made who went to the games, they said that the quality of play was improving. It was, you know, it was a good quality of play, but the things that went on in the stands, you know, it was a mecca for they didn't have the alphabets, and I can't get all those alphabets down.
I know which letters you're talking about.
Yeah, I know you're the one you're talking about. Yes.
But that was one of the drawbacks. It started to diminish the number of people that were coming to the games in the stands because they didn't like what they were seeing taking place in the stands.
Exactly.
And then you take the young lady that Dallas drafted this year, they were so happy that she's on the team now.
Are you
Paige Beckers?
Gotta be.
Is that Paige? Yeah. Apparently,
she was the number one pick for the Wings.
Yeah, apparently one of the young ladies that they drafted last year, they have some kind of relationship, and they're making this thing public. And I'm not sure that, I mean, I know that the country has started to, you know, lean progressively and all that, but in some arenas. But I'm not sure that you want to publicize all these same sex relationships on these basketball teams.
Well, and
Michael, what about the racial aspect? You know, the black player saying you've had white privilege. That doesn't help either.
No, and now, to me, this didn't rise to the level that it has been until Caitlin Clark came out. And I don't know, you know, I've heard different stories about her. Publicly, she seems to be an okay kid. But the other stories say that she is very arrogant. She's very, you know, not a team player, not a good locker room player. I've heard that too. So I don't know what to believe about her. But a lot of this venom seems to be aimed at her.
Yep.
Yep.
Now, didn't David Stern used to be commissioner of the WNBA?
No. The late David Stern, he was always the commissioner of the NBA. I mean, he put his support behind the WNBA, but, you know, because remember, back in the first generation of the WNBA, NBA teams had to put their support and back these WNBA teams. Now, with the financials that they have it set up as, they don't have to have a lot of NBA team support. But if they don't figure this out, there'll be no support, period, and the league will fold, and this could be a death nail to this league.
Well, somebody from the NBA, the big NBA, should step forward and say to this person, you're gone. You're screwing up the league. You're killing the goose that's laying the golden eggs. We, the big NBA, are going to take over the WNBA until you can get your act together.
Here's what I think.
Can you imagine what the way out there women would say to that? That would open up another can of worms. You know, you're trying to dominate us. You're trying to put us in our place. Good luck with that, Dom.
You know what that would fall under the category of, right? Let's backtrack a little bit. I know this isn't sports, but let's go back to 2019. Let's go back 7 years. Remember when the Me Too movement first started?
Mm-hmm.
I think if we had that with the NBA and the ladies who are homosexual, who are, you know, transgender, who are, you know, ABC and whatever you wish to call it, don't be shocked if a Me Too movement of epic proportion starts. So let's not forget, when 2019 hit and the Me Too movement started, that is what will most likely happen. But here's what I think is going to have to happen. The WNBA PA, because remember when they had that nice little long labor financial strike that, you know, prolonged out for a good long period of time to try to get their finances in order, to try to pay the rank and file players that didn't get a lot of money, to get them more money, to get better travel arrangements and things like that. Now you're starting to see with the WNBA, with the Toronto Tempo and the Portland team, those are expansion teams that are online this year, with Houston coming on board next year. We've got three new expansion teams in a two-year period.
You are joking. The Toronto Tempo?
I believe that's what
name a car after one of the worst, a team after one of the worst cars ever built? I mean, what's next? The Vancouver Vega? Oh, my God.
Well, you have the Atlanta Falcons. Come on.
No. Mitch, you got the Atlanta Dream.
I mean, well, the WNBA teams have some of the strangest names,
the Falcons are a fighting bird. The Falcon was a car in Australia. It wasn't a car here.
Yeah, exactly.
But I want to make one final comment since we're taking on the WNBA. I also have heard, and I think we talked about it briefly a few months ago, but apparently the officiating is dreadful.
It always has been.
Ain't new.
And women's college basketball officiating is poor.
It's piss poor.
Although it was worse back in the 70s, but it still leaves a lot to be desired.
Let's not forget, guys, remember the NBA scandal with Tim Donaghy. Something tells me, one of the folks that's listens and sometimes fills in on the panel, we were kind of talking a little bit about that over the weekend about, you know, with gambling and betting and everything. Why wouldn't I not be shocked if some of these officials are in on the tick?
Well, I have a question about the NBA. It's got to be a good 15 years ago or longer. Mm-hmm. The NBA made a big deal about two women coming in as referees, and I didn't hear that they were particularly great or particularly poor.
Well,
does the NBA still have female officials?
Yes.
I don't know, but I think I remember what you're talking about. I believe their names.
I think they still do, and I think those two ladies, I think one of them was Natalie Nosoko, and I can't remember who the other one was. But I believe
if they're any good, they ought to go over and try to take over the WNBA.
If I'm not mistaken, they had what was that lady's name? Jin something or other. No, not Jin Powell for the MLB, but it was Jennifer somebody who would be one of the umpires or sometimes in the replay center. So there are a few female officials still working in the NBA and in the replay center in Chicago.
I don't think they'd want to go over there, Mitch.
Are there male officials, male referees in the WNBA?
In the few WNBA games I've listened to since you want to talk about weird team names, try this. The Golden State Valkyries.
That's actually my favorite team name. Because one of my favorite pieces of classical music, and I had it on our last phone as our ringtone, was Flight of the Valkyries, which was a really cool piece of music.
And
so that's my favorite team name.
What's the Valkyrie?
A Valkyrie is a female
warrior, not like they fly. They're not just like Amazons. They fly. They're in Norse mythology. Valkyrie.
They're kind of like birds. They're like graceful flying magenta bird or something like that.
But they fight like all blazes.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Some of the Valkyrie games are on 95.7 The Game. You just have to get lucky on figuring out where to find them. Mm-hmm. And the Chicago Sky have some of their games. I saw something where they're going to have at least 5 of their games carried on the Score with.
My concluding thoughts on this is the WNBA needs a complete review of a lot of what's going on, and it covers a lot of areas too. Exactly. Their commissioner needs to really examine things during the offseason.
Bob, I think what's going to have to happen is either the Players Association is going to have to tell Miss Kathy that either she needs to go, or they will relieve her of her duties and they will go find a new commissioner to get them back on the right track, because there are a lot of things that they really do need to examine instead of just having a bean counter like MLB has with Manfred. Because let's not forget, with MLB with Manfred, when Bryce Harper and him got into a nice little man-to-man testosterone-free flowing brouhaha.
I recall.
And it was very vocal in the clubhouse.
Absolutely it was. Go ahead, Michael.
Mitch had another topic he wanted to bring up.
Well, I want to rant about the Dodgers, except that.
Here we go.
what has happened? This is the third year in a row that the Dodgers have hit an August slump, and I have
9 out of 10, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm sorry.
9 out of their last 10, and their gap.
No, eight out of nine.
And their gap, which was once very comfortable, is only.
It's
like
now seven and a half. But
yeah,
seven.
Yeah.
Here's my problem, and I don't like either possibility. Either the Dodgers believe that they can phone it in and play 500 or even subpar till the end of the season, and then believe they can gear it up for the postseason, which is basically what they did the last 2 years, which is unfortunate because I just have an issue. I guess it's my work ethic. I have a problem with players losing focus and thinking they can just coast in. But what is beginning to really concern me is I believe, and that was Al Campanis, 30, 40, 50 years ago, who said, I'd rather trade a player 1 year too soon than yet 1 year too late.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Teoscar Hernandez and Mookie Betts and even perhaps Kyle Tucker are past their prime, and they are all having down years. I had questions about them picking up signing Tucker in the first place, because he was on a downslide last year when he was with the Cubs. But
yep,
but I really was. Think that the age may be beginning to set in on the Dodgers, and whether they have one more hit the gas come September and go to the World Series, I don't know. I just think that what I'm seeing now, and the problem is they're committing errors. They're committing base running errors. It's like their heads aren't in the game. And I have a real problem with teams, with players who lose focus like that. It's something that 20 something kids would do. Brand new baseball players, they'd lose focus and it's a long season, but I don't expect my 30 something guys to do that.
You can add Freddie Freeman to that list also, although Freeman's having a better year than the other three that you mentioned.
Yes, he is.
But he's not getting any younger either.
No, he's not.
From what I've been hearing in, some of the Dodger nerds that are like, oh, they're just trying to get some of their key guys back.
I know.
Here's the thing. How long can you keep waiting on those key guys to get back?
Snell and Glasnow.
Snell and Glasnow.
Snell comes back tomorrow.
Well,
glass now in a week or two, Will Smith, who, as Tonto used to say, quien sabe.
P.K. Hernandez is supposed to be back relatively soon.
Oh, he's playing. Kike played third base, has been playing third base off and on, kind of platooning with Max Muncy the last week because they put up a lot of left-handers.
I think they're going to try to avoid using Shohei Sehei unless they absolutely positively have to. I think they're trying to make sure that, you know, his knee is fully healthy for when they really, really need him. I think they're just trying to keep his bat in the lineup.
Is he going to pitch in the playoffs, though?
They think he will pitch in the playoffs, but the knee is not responding as quickly as they wanted to. And now that, we seem to have gained Sasaki back as a decent pitcher. Robleski has hit a wall.
Robleski's always hit a wall.
Well, no, he was 11-2 before the All-Star break. His ERA was right around 2. He's made 3 starts since the All-Star break, or 2 starts. 0-2, his ERA is about 7. And yesterday, Roberts pulled him after, I think, 4-plus innings.
So he didn't even qualify for the win.
No. The win, we lost 4-2, and when he came out, we were down 4-0.
So basically,
they've got Sasaki back.
No run support.
Skubal, Snell, Glasnow, Yamamoto. I don't really think that we even need Shohei, but we'll take our 4 healthiest pitchers into the playoffs.
Well, I can understand the
Skubal trade was. I mean, who did the good Dodgers give up for the?
We gave up a triple A pitcher. Yep.
River Ryan. We gave up a Zaire Earhart, who was a double A outfield.
Hope. And a single A kid, Hope.
Who I had to look in my. I keep rosters of all the minor league Dodger teams, and I had to go look for him. No, Hope was the guy was the double A guy. Zaire Hope.
Hope was the double A guy.
It was one of their top. Or no, it wasn't Hope, Don.
Yeah, it was Earhart.
It was Earhart. Yes.
Okay. Because I think the national folks kept saying it was a kid named Hope. They drew.
No, we've got a kid named Hope, but it was Earhart and a low A pitcher named Smith. And then I had to look him up.
Yeah, Smith.
So I didn't know.
I think he was in Rancho Cucamonga, right?
Yes. No, Ontario. We're now in Ontario.
River Ryan, was big league for a while. He got into a game against Paul Skenes in 24, and he came out of that game, had to have Tommy John, and he's been Triple A since then, and now he's in Toledo. What really burns me up is Skubal. Dude is in Los Angeles, and what does he say 5 minutes after he gets to Los Angeles?
I remember this.
Oh, I want to be back in Detroit. Well, if he wanted to be back in Detroit, why didn't he have a no-trade clause so they couldn't get him out of Detroit? And also, if you're in Los Angeles, why in heaven's name would you want to go back to Murder Town and forget that?
I'll give you another example, and some of the things baseball players say are nuts. The guy who pitched and beat the Dodgers yesterday, I remember his first name was Eduardo. Hernandez.
Rodriguez.
For Arizona?
Three years ago, I think it was 3, it may have been 4, the Dodgers were trying very hard to trade for him. He was with Detroit at the time, ironically. He had a clause in his contract to limit the teams he could be traded to. And he said, and it was public, I don't want to be traded to a team on the West Coast. My family, I think his family was in Philadelphia. He was not traded to the Dodgers. The season then ends. and he is a free agent. And, oh, where does he go?
Arizona.
But he, but here's the kicker, though. You know what the darndest thing about this whole thing is? Scooble, I think, is going to be okay. But the thing is, I don't think when he signed that deal with Detroit, I don't think his camp put a no-trade clause in his contract. Because I think he was on, he's on his last year of, he's in his last year of his
contract. He's a free agent after,
So once this is over, basically he's a two month rental. So if he can go back to Detroit.
He could.
And not have to worry about it.
Yeah. But I mean, some of these baseball players, why don't you just be honest and say, I don't really want to play in Los Angeles, or I don't want to play so-and-so, and you know.
Nick.
I think he did it because he wants to win a World Series.
Well, not only that, Mike, let's go one step further. It's the politics of the sport.
And there's too much of it in the sport.
Just think about it.
There's too much of it everywhere.
Think about it.
And if you have an agent, he's going to say, don't burn your bridges. He's going to say, don't. And there's a difference between getting traded somewhere and going free agent. If he'd been traded when he didn't want to leave Detroit, this is Reed Rodriguez I'm talking about.
Yep.
If he'd been traded, he'd had no advance notice. He'd had to call Allied Van Lines. Now, if he's a free agent, he's got time. He's got his agent working with him, and he's on the horn with his family, and they say, okay, we're going to want to go here. And when they did go to Arizona, they had time to figure out how to get to Arizona as opposed to being in a trade.
By the way, with regard to Scooble will only play in Detroit next year on one condition.
There is
that they outbid everybody else. No. Forget whether there's a season or not. So the next game he pitches, whenever it happens in 27 or 28, he will pitch for Detroit only if they offered him the most money.
They would literally – here's the thing. His camp is probably already working behind the scenes with him being a free agent and already trying to prepare for if there's a labor lockout, which there's most likely going to be. All these folks that have the agents that can work behind the scenes, they're already trying to lay the foundation now for when this labor strike gets negotiated, if it does, on where these big-time, big-market free agents are going to go and how much these teams are willing to pay. They're already
looking. Bob, you want to see if we have any callers?
Sure.
Or Zoomers?
So before we do, I just want to acknowledge Greg and Brad and thank them very much for helping us out today. Greg is our facilitator for today's program. Brad is our streamer. And so if you want to write to us here at Sports Roundtable, please do so at bobranko93@gmail.com because we want to hear from listeners. We want to get their viewpoints on sports and what we talk about and all that good stuff and bad stuff sometimes, I know. So let me turn the festivities briefly over to Greg to find out if there are any hands raised. Greg?
I don't have any hands raised currently. No, Bob.
All right, no problem. When you see one or two, just let us know, please.
We may eventually get one. We have a brand-new listener named Rick who I invited on. He's just back from a double bypass, and he's out there in the state of Washington, big sports fan, big fan of my program. Thank you, Rick.
Glad he made it through that surgery with flying colors, apparently.
Yeah, me too. My brother had one of those, and believe me, years before he had it, when he started having trouble, I went and got to a cardiologist guy because that stuff is hereditary. Everybody knows it. I didn't want to run into the trouble my brother had.
Well, by the way, if he wants to recover, he probably shouldn't listen to Mariners games.
No.
Well, the Yankees are playing the Mariners this week, by the way. Mariners are coming to Yankee Stadium, as it turns out.
Yeah,
but, Don, you must be happy. You picked up Luis Garcia, the Yankees did, from the Nationals.
Well, you know, he's doing good, but
I think
Elio Ramos, he's been a big disappointment so far. I mean, I thought he was, you know, a better contact hitter than what he's proven to be.
Now, where did he come from?
The Giants. He was leadoff hitter for the Giants.
Oh, the Giants, of course. Okay.
But Luis, you know, he's never going to replace Ben Rice.
No.
You know, not even close. But we do need a bat.
He wasn't supposed to replace Ben Rice.
So is he playing second base sometimes? Because you have Ben Rice at first, once in a while, Paul Goldschmidt. You don't really need Garcia over there.
Well, I think they have Garcia playing, more often than I think I've seen him play second.
And could be because Jazz Chisholm has been a lot of trouble. Besides his actual playing ability, you know, he's been, you know, off the field trouble, which is not good.
I've heard some things. I don't have all the details, but I know he's been known to be a little bit colorful.
I think the guy Don's happy with is Lombard.
Oh yeah, I'm liking him
because remember when you and I talked about him because when I got the thing in text about him, I'm like, as long as he make what did I tell you in text
the
as
simple
long
plays
as he makes the basic plays in front of him, and if he you know whatever he gives him with the at bat, they're going to build a freaking Monument Park.
When the Yankees got Ramos,
mm-hmm.
when he played against the Dodgers the last 2 years, he was an outfielder.
Yeah.
And he used to kill us. And I am very thankful that we won't have to face him again this year.
But he's still an outfielder.
What you're saying is he's not hitting much, but he sure hit against us.
They have him playing in more often than not, every time I've seen their lineup, they have him playing in left field.
Yeah, he was a left fielder with the Giants.
He still is in left field.
And the Red Sox have acquired Adley Rutschman.
Oh, that may have been the trade of the day.
That was a surprise.
I was stunned.
He's coming off the DL sometime this week. You guys are gonna see him. You got the catcher we should have gotten.
I heard.
And of course I'm enjoying the fact that you lost 2 out of 3 to the Athletics. I absolutely
love
that.
You are enjoying it. You are a game and a half ahead of us right now, Doc.
Here's the bad news. Be thankful you're only 2.5 up on the Red Sox for that top wild card. But right now, the battle you guys are facing right now is trying to catch up with Tampa. Because right now, it's a 3-team race for the AL East.
I don't see the point of, you know, wasting effort to try and chase Tampa Bay down. We just got to, you know, keep our position first wild card, so we don't have to play that 3-game wild card series.
You're either going to be most likely playing either Boston or Cleveland or...
I think it's going to be Boston. It's going to be Boston, and the problem is, will it be away or at home?
It's going to be away, because right now y'all are 2.5 behind.
1.5.
A game and a half. Two in the loss column.
Did you hear the game on Friday, the last game Boston won?
You mean that marathon?
Peyton Tolley, the guy I call Holy Moly Tolley, struck out 14 Athletics. That was impressive.
The youngest six innings in history, I believe, right, Don? Unless Clemens had that 20 strikeout game in 1986, he was only 23 years old. So
yeah.
I think Clemens still has that.
Yeah,
I
think him and Kerry Wood are the only two that have that 20 strikeout record thing.
By the way, Mizorowski set a record.
He did that yesterday. 200
strike earliest in the season.
Wow.
I'm like, dude, an ace of a staff who basically was down here for a cup of coffee. And he's already got 200 strikeouts.
Did he win Sunday? He's been having trouble.
I think he did.
I hope so. Paul Skeens is having trouble also.
He's not having a good year.
Only 9-10, and as bad as the Pirates are, you know, he should be better than that.
Don, here's the thing. That's a lot of ace pitchers nowadays this year. When you're not getting support, and you're having to literally, and you're having to literally carry a team on your back like a freaking camel in the middle of an eye of a storm with no help in sight. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, he does have a 4 ERA. It's not like last year where he had a 2 ERA and he had a similar record because they absolutely did no hitting. But now he's got a 4 ERA, which for him, that's the highest he's had his whole career.
The thing is, they've adjusted to him. They've adjusted to him.
By the way, Bob, to anticipate, or maybe you weren't going to, but you announced it on an email, I am very much looking forward to the spaceman coming next.
Yeah, Bill, I'm looking forward to that myself.
And he's got a lot of stories to tell.
I want to ask him, having read Ball 4 for the first time just last year, I want to ask Bill Lee if he's going to follow in Jim Bouton's footsteps and write his own version of Ball 4.
Should
be called Strike 3.
It feels like a lot of players, when they leave the game, write a lot of tell-all books.
Yep.
If he did, it would be one terrific book based on the interviews he's done with us. Boy, he'd be great.
Man,
yep.
But there's a lot of effort involved, which he might not want to make.
The coffee table version of Sports Roundtable, My Life That Was.
And they call him the space.
He gets a ghostwriter.
Gets a ghostwriter to help him out.
Man, what was it? I remember seeing a 30 for 30 about a writer that had a so-called ghostwriter, but I can't remember his name now. But I remember seeing a 30 for 30 on a particular writer where he said that he did have a ghostwriter that helped him write some of his stuff.
Oh, a lot of athletes, I bet you a majority of the athletes with books do that. That's not,
sure.
You know, unless they majored in creative writing in college, they can tell stories, but they probably can't put it in print.
Communication and journalism.
Yeah.
But writing would be mandatory.
Well, Bill Lee has gone to various events. He's met a lot of celebrities. I'm going to ask him to talk about that next week. He's been around. He does a lot of traveling, and God bless him for that. He really, really gets out there and has a lot of tales to tell. So we are looking forward to having Bill Lee with us next month.
And I believe I was able to help you guys set up Ms. Walker to return on the 24th, but I think she's making the trek to the left coast for...
Yep. Teresa Walker, thank you for that, Luther. She is coming on the 24th, for sure, to my knowledge.
She's going to have a lot to talk about with the Blue Look Grizzlies, the trade with Ja to the Portland Trailblazers, a.k.a. Siberia, the NBA. Even though the Portland Trailblazers are going to have to find a new head coach, because Tiago Splitter is now the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. Now, he got hired away from Portland from being an assist, from being a spelunker flunky, to now the top bull for the Bulls. After they finally got rid of Billy Donovan. After what felt like an eternity.
Donovan should never have left college basketball.
Agreed.
Yeah.
He was. Yeah. There are coaches. There are coaches in both football and basketball who are just totally suited for college, not pro.
Here's the thing. It's the same thing with the NFL. There are a lot of coordinators who figure out a little too late that there's a big difference between sitting in a coordinator's chair and sitting in the big chair. Because now you have to make decisions for everybody, not just your side of the ball.
Luther, what is your take?
He hasn't won a championship since he went back to back with Ford in 06 and 07.
Yeah, after winning the championship, I think he wanted to see if he could, you know,
I think he won
a championship in college and the pros. I think so.
He should have consulted with John Calipari.
Yeah, he should have, but unfortunately. They had a little rivalry with Florida when he was playing, when he was the coach in Kentucky before he got c'est la vie and fired and sent to Arkansas. Trying to
Luther, what's your take on LeBron going to the 76ers?
I don't really know what he can give them with his age of 42. I really don't. I'm really going to look forward to seeing how LeBron with Embiid, with Brown,
Jalen Brown,
Maxey, how long it will take them all to coalesce and gel and figure out who goes where and what goes to what. Because the quicker they can figure that out, they may have a chance. But if it takes them longer than, say, you know, 20 games and they start, I don't know, 3-17 or maybe 500 at 10-10, even though it's 82 game schedule, you can kind of lose it.
Who's going to play defense for the 76ers?
Good question.
Now, every now and then, Joel plays some fairly decent defense. But with his size, he can be I won't say intimidator, but you know, he can represent for a while. But seems like to me when he's really tries to go all out, that's when he starts to get hurt.
You know, many years ago, I subscribed to Sports Illustrated, and I read Sports Illustrated probably from my mid-20s. Or, no, not that early. Probably from my mid-30s into my 60s. And the Sports Illustrated, they used to do features. They did one on Bryce Harper, and Harper actually did live up to the hype. But the most overhyped feature in a Sports Illustrated I ever read was about Greg Oden. You guys remember Greg Oden?
Sure, he was in the same draft as Kevin Durant, and he was a bust.
Greg Oden was touted. He was going to be the next big thing, and he couldn't stay healthy. And Embiid is kind of the poor man's Greg Oden. I mean, he doesn't stay healthy.
Yeah, well, I think when he tries to play hard, that's when he starts to get hurt. And they depend on him a lot on offense. They go to him. He's the go-to guy on offense. But when he tries to play defense, I think that's when he starts.
Except Greg Oden was out of basketball quickly.
Yeah, I think he was out in 5 years.
Yeah, he didn't make it long.
Yeah.
But I do remember that. Zion Williamson is another one, Mitch.
Same thing.
That category.
Oh, my goodness. He can't stay healthy either.
Well, if he
good
if he,
player, good
if
player.
He could
good player.
If he could keep the extra 50 pounds off of him, might help his knees some. But I also heard something the other day, and I didn't catch all of it. But there are stories now that maybe he was kind of overrated. That given his skill set and his size and his apparent inability to listen to coaches, that maybe he was kind of one of those overrated guys too.
But in terms of raw talent, the guy to me is very talented. I watched him a little bit when he was at Kentucky and when he got to New Orleans. But
you've got to be able to take instruction and turn that raw talent into something more than raw talent.
well, yeah. I mean, that I guess that's the missing link. But,
mm-hmm.
but if he were to listen to coaching and do what they're saying, I think that would have made him a better all-around player. But I like the talent is there. It's how you develop.
Yeah.
Well, football's preseason has already started. Didn't Carolina play Arizona yesterday or?
Thursday.
Okay, yeah. It might have been. It was shown yesterday on some app. I was at somebody's house and they were showing it on some app. Arizona was a high scoring game.
It was the battle of third string quarterbacks.
Yeah. By the way, and I think there are a couple of us who get the NFL schedules in Braille.
I do.
Now maybe it doesn't bother anybody else because I'm starting to prep for my fantasy season. The NFL schedule left out something that they've had in there for years. Beginning week 5, they did not list the teams on bye.
Yeah. I told you last week I don't like the schedule.
Michael, I finally got around to reading it in detail, when I put my fantasy list together, I put down the bye weeks because and it happens to a lot of the guys in our league. You end up with all your running backs on the same bye week, or you know, 3 or 4 of your guys. And so I go and I make note of the bye weeks. I had to go back yesterday and I had to check my list and log in each week, each bye week, for all 32 teams. And, I don't understand why they left that out, but I guess they figure it's no big deal.
The whole format to me is just off. They added stuff that was unnecessary and left out things that we were used to.
And of course, you've got games on the other side of the world. You've got games on off days. This year, it's a little more flexible than ever
there
before.
There are several Wednesday games, and I really hope that that all of the teams who have Wednesday games will be coming off their bye weeks. It's bad enough when a team has to have only 3 days off between the Sunday game and the Thursday game, but you know you're just gearing up for more injuries if players only get 2 days rest.
That's hard for me to understand how you can play a game as physical as football is.
Well, the problem
only
is
2 days rest.
The thing is, terrible. If you were here, because I know that you know the Patriots now they have to try to figure out the second thing of turf because the first one did not comply. So if they can't get that turf fixed, there won't be a preseason game with the Patriots opening up preseason on Thursday. And that's a story that came out, over the weekend, and I was listening to PFT Live, and they were talking about it in the second hour of the show. And I'm like, when are they finally going to just get rid of this stupid turf and be done with it? And we can actually play on grass where sports were meant to actually be played.
I think people would be less injured if that was true. If they played on grass, they wouldn't get hurt as bad.
But you can't do that. You can't do that in some of the covered stadiums. Now, at SoFi, I believe it's SoFi out here, you can actually, and there may be another place.
You
can roll the grass out from under the covering.
State Farm Stadium in Glendale has it set up on a tray where they roll it out.
Yeah, that's
grass
so fine.
On, and then put it back on the tray and roll it back in, and then
you
water it while on the tray.
But you can't do that in a lot of other dome stadiums, which is why they play on this turf, because grass won't grow.
Well, the thing is, you know, whatever they did with the FIFA, soccer events, I mean, hey, turned out just, I don't think I heard a single issue on the FIFA audio descriptive app, not one time.
They
have a problem with
Reliant Stadium now, which is, we're back.
Is in that, in that NRG now?
Yeah, it's back to Reliant. But they did that here. They brought in that turf, And they had some way to put some, I guess it's artificial sunlight on it to grow it and keep it grassy. So I haven't heard. I'm wondering if the stadium management is going to keep that grass.
I have not heard anything.
Take care of it.
I don't know because.
Well, if they can do that, then they don't need artificial turf. I can only imagine what their electricity bill looks like.
Well, you got Reliant as your sponsor.
Reliant Energy. I guess Reliant Energy can flip the bill if they need to.
Cut a deal.
Maybe on a good day.
Well, the Patriots start their exhibition season on Thursday night.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, time flies, believe me.
Yeah.
Bob, in my fantasy, I use CBS's fantasy rankings. Drake May is, at least as of last Wednesday, listed as their third best quarterback in the NFL.
Hey, Mitch, do you by chance listen to SiriusXM Fantasy for their...
I'm sorry, what was that?
SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Channel?
Absolutely. On Sundays, because I keep track of my own scores and I try to keep track of the other managers' teams in our league, I have radio on listening to whatever game I'm interested in, and mm-hmm. I've got the A Critter on SiriusXM, the fantasy channel. Yes, sir.
So Mitch, if May is third, who are first and second?
Josh Allen is number one, and I'll write you back and tell you. I don't remember who the number.
Would Lamar Jackson be number two?
Yes. It's Lamar Jackson.
Okay, Allen Jackson.
When
you guys have about 2 minutes.
Who is the real Josh Allen? Who is the real Josh Allen?
You know what, my Rev, that's the big question of the season.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're going to find out this year between Lamar and Josh, Burrow, May, Darnold. I just ripped off five quarterback names.
Well, I think I told Michael last week in passing, I think the quarterback that's going to have the best season this year is Dak Prescott.
Yeah, you think Dallas is going to go a little further than a lot of us expect them to?
I think they're going to go a lot further, and I'm hearing that from some of the sports pundits, too.
I hate to get that.
Yeah, I know.
Because usually something happens that derails it. But they're in position if they can get a complimentary running game.
That's the key. And if their defense can play a little better.
We shall see what
defense. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, it looks like our time is up for this edition of Sports Roundtable. Luther, glad to have you back with us. You sound great. Peter, we missed you. We hope to have you back next week. We all look forward to having Bill Lee on. That ought to be fun. And thank you, Greg and Brad, for helping us as well. I'm Bob Branco. Go safe with God's abundant blessings, and have a great day.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
This is not a public service announcement. This is a one-minute mystery.
Barney Dribble is carrying a pillowcase full of feathers. Hardy Pyle is carrying three pillowcases the same size as Barney's, yet Hardy's load is lighter. How can this be? Thank you.
here's the solution to our mystery.
Hardy's pillowcases are empty.
And now back to our regular programming.